Ready to broadcast the COVID-19 post-pandemic show. Anytime now. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Welcome to this week's edition of Freedom and Prosperity Radio, the weekly radio news magazine that we put together here at the Virginia Institute for Public Policy. My name is Joe Thomas, and on behalf of all of us here and our partners as well in the Virginia Education Opportunity Alliance, thank you for tuning in. This week, we're going to talk transparency with somebody who's been crusading for it ever since he started running up against how deep the intransparency business is in our government. Chris Horner, author of Red Hot Lies, Power Grab, and The Politically Incorrect Guide to Global Warming from the Government Accountability and Oversight Group, govoversight.org. It will be coming up in just a little while, but we kick off this week with a doctor who simply wants to treat sick people with readily available medicine to make them well again, and Virginia businesses, Virginia hospitals have been firing him and going after him ever since. He is the great Dr. Paul Marek, of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance. Thank you for joining us this week, Dr. Marek. How are you doing?
Good. And yourself?
Doing very well, and I've had a lot of folks ask me about protocols, and I keep sending them to your website to take a look wherever they may be in their journey with COVID, whether it's the prevention or the treatment or the recovery, even after a vaccine. And I kind of wanted to jump in on that question, on that subject, because we've been seeing more and more notable, or at least unignorable, people like Anita Hardaway, also known as Diamond of Diamond and Silk, and the Buffalo Bills player Damar Hamlin, whose doctor even said in a press conference that he had just had the COVID booster before his collapse on Monday Night Football. But then the FDA says, you know what, let's just make these shots a yearly part of the regimen. Is this whistling past the graveyard? Is this a feeling that they have enough control of the media that nobody's going to ask any questions about this, Dr. Marek? What is going on?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we know beyond doubt, there's no question that these jabs are not safe and effective. We know that the risk of serious adverse events from these vaccines, and this is based on multiple studies, including the CDC's own data from BeSafe, we know that between 6 and 8% of people who get these jabs will have a serious adverse event. We know that, and that's just generally available statistics. Mm-hmm. We know that the risk of dying is probably 1 in 1,000. And so they can't hide this. So they are perpetuating this false narrative, and probably because they don't want to admit they made a mistake, because I think then, you know, the liability would be enormous in their reputation. But clearly they perpetuating this false narrative probably to protect themselves.
Oh.
Because clearly they're not serving the American public. We need to be clear. The FDA is captured by pharma and industry. That's who their master is. They do not serve the American public, and it's an outrage.
Well, and even beyond it, so I've told people over and over again, I said, you know, when you see these numbers, you need to go find the protocols that keep you or can, you know, keep you protected without these shots and learn to treat yourself. And this has been my frustration so long with this, Dr. Marek, and we've talked about this in the past as well, is this the idea that the vaccine is everything, and we've wasted 3 years now, going on 3 years of great medical minds like yours who have been coming up with ways to treat what is obviously going to be a virus that is going to be around for a while, wherever it may have come from.
Yeah, so, you know, starting very early, we knew that there were safe, effective treatments for this disease, and there are, in fact, 20 or 30 medical compounds or nutraceuticals that have been demonstrated to have high efficacy against this virus, and they just don't want you to know about it. But you know what's really interesting is the Cleveland Clinic just came out with a paper, and I think people would agree that the Cleveland Clinic is a highly reputable a medical hospital organization. And what they basically showed in their publication is that natural immunity is far better than the immunity from the vaccine. And stunningly, what they showed is that the risk of getting COVID, actually your risk of getting COVID increases the more shots you get. The more shots you get, that increases your risk of getting COVID. This is from the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh,
and so, you know, they can't hide this lies and deceit and dishonesty anymore because it's out there. And it is astonishing that they continue with this false narrative. The data is there. These vaccines are not safe. They're not effective. And we know there are effective, simple measures to treat SARS-CoV-2 right at the beginning. This is nothing more than a humanitarian disaster.
Well, and it gets worse. I mean, I'm just reading science.org. So, you know, if there's a website, right, aside from COVID-19criticalcare.org, which is yours, science.org, it's a nonprofit scientific online newsletter, and it's just got a story out there about this treatment drug. Was it I've never even heard of it.
Molnupiravir.
Right.
Yes.
And it's actually saying that this was supposed to be the thing you took, I guess, the morning after pill for COVID, and it would get it right away, and it would plus it would super boost you. It's actually that now they're saying it's a supercharger for the virus, and it's making it worse.
Yeah. So what's interesting about this drug is it's a mutagenic drug. So this is a drug we know causes cancer, and it causes mutations in one's genome.
Oh.
And in fact, the clinical study showed that placebo was more effective than molnupiravir in the treatment of COVID. Let me say that again.
Oh, my gosh.
Placebo. And yet the FDA, you know, the federal agency, whatever they do, approved this drug because they were paid to do it. It's an outrage. So this is a mutagenic drug. It's a drug that we know causes cancer and is ineffective against SARS-CoV-2. Yet the FDA approved this drug for COVID. Yet ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin is a good example because we know 3.2 billion doses have been dispensed to human beings. Mm-hmm. We're not aware of a single death related to ivermectin.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the safest medications on this planet. Yet the FDA considers it a toxic horse deworming medicine. So this is just how evil and sinister they are. You have a safe, effective medication which has been used for 25 years in millions of people, yet they call it a toxic dewormer. Yet they will approve a drug which causes cancer and is useless against SARS-CoV-2.
Do I need
to say more?
Well, and didn't the doctor that discovered the use of ivermectin in humans win the Nobel Prize for medicine?
Yes.
So
Satoshi Imuri was actually awarded the Nobel Prize for discovering this compound. And the WHO recognized that after penicillin, this drug has had a greater impact on humanity than any other drug ever developed.
So you
can see how they've twisted things around.
And unfortunately, we live in a world where notable scientists like Dr. Goodall are on stage saying, boy, if we could just get the population back to where it was 500 years ago, and you put those two stories together, and I can't blame people for saying, there's something sinister going on. Now, I think it's more likely it's just ineptitude and then redoubling the ineptitude to cover up for the original ineptitude. But we've even got places like Thailand. I was reading, my wife found the story about the princess is in a coma and has been for a month because she got the jab, and now the king has said no more of this stuff in my country.
Yeah, so I did read that story. So we know that the jab causes sudden cardiac death. It both within, you know, a few weeks because of the myocarditis, but it also causes delayed cardiac arrest due to heart attacks because of it activates clotting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you just need to look at the news and see all of these young people who die suddenly. This never happened before. You know, people in their 20s and 30s, healthy people dying suddenly. And it appears the princess, who's, I think, in her 40s, she got the jab, and then she had a cardiac arrhythmia and an arrest. And there's no question that she developed myocarditis related to the jab. We know, we have autopsy studies showing the jab causes cardiac inflammation, and it likely precipitates arrhythmias. You cannot deny it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that maybe this is a good thing, because in Thailand anyway, Pfizer is going to lose the immunity that they had. And because the jab is responsible for her cardiac arrest, there's no question.
This is going to probably go down along with leeches and the Black Plague is perhaps one of the darkest times in human medical history, Dr. Marek. And I just feel like I'm glad that I'm in there with you and the folks who recall when you were considered one of the preeminent emergency care physicians in the country, not just on the planet. And that fall from grace came because you wanted to treat sick people with medicine to make them well again. Go figure what a crazy planet we're in where, you know, we don't want to do that. I'm fascinated because there's part of a voice in my head that says, what do they know about SARS-CoV-2 that they haven't told us that makes them so maniacally pursuing this vaccine culture that they're not telling us? But again, I still, knowing enough government officials, I go with ineptitude more than evil or evil intent, Dr. Marek. Is that your take as well?
You know, this is where it gets difficult. Because we know they've lied to us. They've lied to us about everything. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a recent paper came out from the Cochrane Group, which looked at all the studies on masks and showed that masks were completely and totally useless. So we know the masks didn't work. The lockdowns didn't work. The social distancing didn't work. We know the vaccines didn't work. So the question is, what is driving this? And, you know, what they say is follow the money. You know, when you don't understand something, follow the money. So I think at a very simple level, you know, this was a propaganda scheme orchestrated by Big Pharma to put a shot in every arm. That was their goal, a shot in every arm. And, you know, Gates and the World Economic Forum and all these people were complicit in this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at a basic level, you know, what
that's
we
it.
Know. Now, whether on top of that there are other more serious and sinister and nefarious plans, you know, that's even more disturbing.
Well, when you look at the gain of function research that was being done at the Wuhan Institute, and then, you know, this virus jumps the lab and is infecting people, you know, and from what I can tell in China like crazy now, because I guess they pretended it wasn't there. And then they one of the most bizarre turns of this, Dr. Marek, and I don't know if you've seen this, but Canadian Broadcasting Corporation had a show, and I guess one of their go-to medical experts, Dr. Raj Bardwaj, was on with this host explaining that the reason so many Canadians were having cardiac issues was something he is now referring to as stroke season. That right after flu season, apparently there's a stroke season that nobody, you've been in medicine a long time. Had you ever heard of anyone saying there was a stroke season that immediately followed cold and flu season?
No. So the federal government now has a problem because all these people are dying and they have to come up with an explanation and they can't implicate the vaccine. So my understanding is, from what we hear from the White House, is that they're going to blame this either on long COVID or climate change.
Oh, God.
Now, obviously, both of those are completely ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, we have autopsy studies of people who've died after the vaccine. And if it was due to long COVID and the virus, we would actually see what's called the nuclear protein in the myocardial tissue, which we don't see. All we see is spike. So we know these people are not dying of SARS-CoV-2. We know definitively they're dying because they have spike in their heart. And so to blame long COVID is another lie. And then you try to figure out how global warming causes people to die suddenly. That's an interesting one. But apparently that's what they're going to blame this on.
The science.
You know, they're not going to take responsibility. So they have to blame something.
I worry.
So that's what they have.
I had a friend tell me that, you know, things like the, you know, Monsanto settlements and Agent Orange settlements and even the 9/11 Victims Fund is one of the reasons the federal government will never fess up, because there's just too much money in potential litigation of victims and families of victims, that if the truth was to come out, that the U.S. government just couldn't handle the liability of it. So maybe that's where it is. But even the New York Times just yesterday published an editorial saying, why are so many Americans dying right now? So when even the New York Times can't ignore it anymore, are we at a point where in the next year or so, Dr. Marek, this is going to start crumbling like the Nixon administration?
Yeah. So I think the dam wall is breaking, because as you say, you know, almost everybody knows someone who's vaccine injured or knows somebody or a family member that has died from the vaccine. So you can't hide this anymore. You just can't hide it anymore. So people are going to know about it, and people are going to be directly involved. And when people are personally involved, you know, then they have personal stakes. So I think the dam wall is crumbling. You just have to look at the news, the number of people that die suddenly. This is just so unusual. Mm-hmm. You know, young athletes just dropping dead. Something is wrong. And I think, you know, even people who don't want to think, you know, and are being, you know, given false information from the press, they just have to take notice.
Eventually, it's going to be unavoidable for them. And I'm not saying that COVID-19 is not real. It's very real. And I think, you know, the spike proteins itself are something I want to know. You know, and that's something that's curious to me. And I don't think we've ever talked about it, Dr. Marek. I mean, is this spike protein that we see in SARS-CoV-2 a common thing that happens in nature? Or is this the villain in all of this? Is this Franken virus with the spike protein?
Yeah, so this is a man-made virus with a man-engineered spike protein, and this is probably one of the most toxic compounds that we've ever been exposed to. And, you know, there have been a number, they don't do them in the U.S. because they try and cover up all the deaths, but there have been a whole bunch of autopsy series in Germany following vaccination and death, and they find spike protein all over the place,
the
heart, in the brain, in the kidneys, and it does really bad stuff. I mean, this spike is a toxic protein. It does all kinds of really bad stuff, and you can't deny it, because, you know, the pathologist sees the truth. They have the final word. Mm-hmm. The tissues don't lie, and what they find is there's spike protein all over the place.
It's scary. We're wrapping up. Dr. Paul Marek with the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, of course, for many years, a notable Virginia emergency doctor. COVID19criticalcare.com. I do hope your website is getting more and more visit for all the protocols, whether it be the protection, the treatment, or the recovery protocols, even if you get the jab. I understand you have a conference coming up at the end of April in Texas.
Yeah, so, you know, we have a conference. Our first one was last year in Orlando. You know, it was basically understanding spike-related disease, which was a great success. And following on that, we actually have a conference in Dallas towards the end of April, and we're going to expand on our previous conference. So mm-hmm. We're really excited. We have some really good speakers. And, you know, we basically present the science and what people can do to understand this disease and treat themselves. So, you know, we're really looking forward to this conference, which, you know, is going to be in Dallas-Fort Worth, 27, 28 of April.
Well, if you guys ever put together a radio row at this conference, let me know, and we'll come and broadcast live from it, because I think this is the front line of the most important thing humanity has faced. And I know they say that about climate change, but I think this is far outstripping it. Dr. Paul Marek, God bless you, as always, for standing up and fighting and still fighting after all the slings and arrows, and being at very least an example to us for what happens when we're name-called and lose business because of it. And to you and all the folks, Dr. Corey and everyone at the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, thank you for joining us this week.
Sure. Thank you, Joe. And you know what? We just speak the truth. And, you know, me and you, we know that the truth will always come out, and you have to speak the truth. And thank you, my friend.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 Heart Healthy Listening for Central Virginia. WCHV is not intended to treat any actual medical conditions and should be listened to in conjunction with a well-balanced diet. Consult your physician before turning away from WCHV.
People calling in and calling out, and let me see who this is before we run to the news. Good morning. Who's this on WCHV?
Morning, Joe. Yeah, this is David. I don't know how he wasn't put me on hold and not got me, but I was there.
I could hear you moving around.
Yeah, the fellow that was talking about ivermectin as opposed to vaccines, totally crazy. Out here in California, San Francisco hasn't lost anybody this year. We're a sanctuary city. You can get free testing, free vaccines, and we have not lost a single person this year. You go over to Kern County, Kevin McCarthy's district, they lost 25 people this last 2 weeks. You go to another part of his district, Fresno County, they've also lost 25 people. Orange County, where Disneyland is, heavy Republican, heavy right-wing red county, they lost 85 people this week. They're in the 8,000 dead people. San Francisco, we're at, 1,156, if I remember right.
So real quick, because I've got the news coming up here, David. So aside from your political pot shots, which you're allowed to, you know, I'll give you a chance, you make your political point, that's fine, you know, crackbacks. But you know, what is the right answer? How do we treat this? Because you seem like you're caught into this idea that somehow we're going to magically make it vanish with vaccines that are causing people to drop dead all over the place.
Well, it's interesting. You know, these phonies that claim that ivermectin will do it, they can't prove that it does do it. And in fact, the VA, when this was the spring of 2020, the VA did a study and they found that it was killing more people than it was helping. So they banned the use of it. It was only later in it that Trump forced the VA to have some resignations, and Trump.
So you questioned Dr. Marek again. You know, at one point before COVID, he was one of the preeminent emergency room care physicians in the country, according to USA Today. And you're going to question him when he says all these doses of ivermectin have been prescribed as a medicine off the pharmacopoeia. And you're saying your argument is that you can't prove it does help fight COVID, but you can't prove that it doesn't either. It's that whole.
Well, that's not true. The VA found that it was actually more dangerous.
That becomes he said, she said, because they don't have the data behind it either. But I must run.
Well, what
news,
do you think
David?
Of Walter Reed Hospital?
Do
you think Walter Reed knows what they're doing versus a guy that's hawking a? Yeah, you see, the difference is ivermectin. The guy got the Nobel Prize for ivermectin because it's a worm.
No, it was completely the opposite. You're gaslit into believing that. Anyway, I've got to run, David. Thank you for calling.
The only social media app that doesn't tell you what the Chinese government wants you to hear. Or the FBI, either.
The coercive power of government.
Download the free Seville 107.5 app. Surveillance mics sold separately.
Let me get a bunch of folks' emails. Eric writes in, waste of good air, just part of the anti-ivermectin cabal, probably paid to do so, regarding David in San Francisco. Thank you for calling in. What's your name?
You're talking to me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm Thomas from Afton.
Hey, Thomas.
I've been a practicing physician for over 40 years now, and I haven't dealt with this for some time. The science is not what David is having you believe that the science is fake. It's not. He reports a study done by the VA hospital where there were many deaths. That was an invalid study. It was not really a double blind, reducing amount or much higher than the recommended amount of drug used. And it has already been disproven. It was meant to try to scare people from not using it.
This is what I don't get, Tom, and this is what I don't get in the whole thing. And I said this to Dr. Merrick as well. 3 years coming up on this, we have the best medical minds on the planet, and we're telling them not to try to find ways to treat people to make them better. I thought that was the whole point of medicine, was to treat people to make them better. And that's what's been so gobsmacking about this whole COVID narrative that we're in, is that, you know, we're told, no, that's not what medicine is about anymore.
Yeah, I agree. I hate to admit this, but a lot of my colleagues were scared into not doing what they were trained to do. I mean, they believed the real fake news out there, which was, to mask up and to take the vaccines. We now know that the vaccines are causing a lot of harm. Mm-hmm. And there are several countries around the world now that are actually going to be taking Pfizer to court regarding this, and the fact that they suppressed data showing that they knew full and well that these vaccines, one, weren't going to work, and two, were dangerous. And I don't know if your viewers want to, I mean, your listeners want to hear this, but the actual mRNA virus, vaccines, were proven not to work when they tried them on the HIV virus. It's the same type of virus. It causes a different disease, albeit, but this has all been tried before, and they knew full and well that these vaccines weren't going to work.
This way, the most outspoken person against it is Dr. Malone himself, who was one of the pioneers of mRNA.
Yes.
And if I understood mRNA, you know, when it first came up, this was more about a cancer treatment and being able to target, chemotherapy and that kind of thing to specific cancer cells rather than just create a vaccine. Tom, thank you so much. God bless you, sir, and you have a great day.
All right, thank
you.
Joe Thomas in the morning, thank you for letting us be of service to you, and the conversation ensues and COVID starts it. Michael sends this in by email to joe@wchv.com. Right there, Joe, David is one of the reasons we'll never be able to come together for a moment in our country. People who do not read the data and look at hundreds of studies and tens of thousands of people who have been treated by ivermectin and HDC. I wish David and people like him could tell us at what time in history have patients never been treated pre-hospital for any illness, whether it's not going through diet changes or over-the-counter medication or some home remedy. But I think actually what we're seeing here, Michael, and I got a phone call again about the VA and their survey, which was a second set of eyes says it was push polling, it was over prescription, it was waiting too late, and it wasn't that it just said, oh, it's not doing anything. Which even you read reasonable, level-headed research, say ivermectin could be safer about, or could be effective to about 75 or 77% of COVID cases, and it depends on the time you catch it. My mother is deceased because she received hydroxychloroquine. I'll say that again. My mother is deceased because she received hydroxychloroquine. So you would think that would pre-qualify me to be one of those people saying, just give me the jab and forget all this crazy. No, it was prescribed too late. But doctors need to be able to be doctors. Doctors need to look at, you know, case studies and, you know, how long have you had it? Same goes for some of the other treatments. That's why if you look at Dr. Marek's protocols at COVID-19criticalcare.org, you go there and look at the protocols. Most of them are about healthy balancing of your own body, vitamins, sunshine. And part of COVID's problem, part of COVID is our inability. This is a virus of body shaming more than it is anything else, because we're not allowed to tell somebody they're unhealthy anymore. 25 years ago, I would argue that COVID-19 wouldn't have been a blip. It'd be like, oh, we got something new. Or we would have actually honestly said, where'd this come from? But because we're in a place where saying somebody is obese is body shaming, saying somebody has had a bad lifestyle and their liver is challenged is medical shaming or lifestyle shaming. But the biggest infection from COVID is because politics is involved. And what really makes me laugh is David or you and me, we all will like to say, you know, government doesn't do anything right until our team is in charge of the government. I'm sorry, government can't be trusted to do anything, whether Joseph R. Biden or Donald J. Trump is president, because government is just that. It's about governing you. It's not about protecting your rights anymore. It's not about anything like that. They've long ago learned that by using things like the Interstate Commerce Clause, they can manipulate marketplaces to make their friends money. It's why centralized industry, centralized medicine. There's a story in the news about UVA's 10-year health plan. And they're going to, UVA Hospital, UVA Health System is going to open doctor's offices. Why do I need UVA Health System to open up doctor's offices? Why aren't doctors opening up their own offices?
Being tuned in means
no algorithms throttling your content.
Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV.
If it's Super Bowl 57, it's right here.
Brought to you by Danny's Pub in Palmyra.
On Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV.
And I'm old, you know. I grew up offline. And in those days, if you wanted to have a political debate with somebody, you couldn't do it in your underwear. You had to get dressed, you go down to the local bar, pick up the newspaper, find somebody you knew disagreed with you politically, you'd be like, you like this, don't you? And he goes, as a matter of fact, I do. What's your problem? And then you have a debate.
Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage.
I think the coronavirus is a real thing.
Inside the policy, you need a law. You need a rule. You need the coercive power of government to say, do this.
Yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of things, and you and I have talked about many of them, and we actually began the program long before David from San Francisco called about why they gaslight. Why they gaslight? Because it works, and they insist that they're the only ones who can help you. And it bugs me when Republicans do it, probably more than, because we like to think of ourselves as conservative. So this whole issue, when in the name of all that is holy, would you have imagined a world where a medical treatment became political? When? What science fiction author would have had to have come up with the premise? It's like we're living through this political version of the, what is it, Capulets and the Montagues. Maybe that should be the new modern retelling of Romeo and Juliet. A MAGA girl dates a Biden guy. Paul Rudd stars in. And you know that the president's State of the Union address is going to be full of MAGA, you know, MAGA Republicans. He's going to practically scold the chamber. And then we have to have the Republican response. I couldn't care less about the, yeah, guess what? Get elected president, then I get to hear you give the State of the Union address. Oh, now we have the Democrat response to Governor Youngkin's State of the Commonwealth. I don't care. Get yourself elected governor, then you get to give the State of the Commonwealth address. But these people have inserted themselves in such authority positions in our lives that it's blood sport. Yeah, I'm not old enough to remember the days of New York baseball where the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants and the New York Yankees, and if somebody who was in school with you was a Yankee fan, you just didn't talk to them. Or if you were in Brooklyn, you had to root for the Dodgers. You couldn't root for the Giants. And nobody wanted to root for the Yankees because, you know, you're just a front runner then. And you would have fights over whose sports team you were. I listened to some of the most ridiculous chants. I mean, of course, there's the famous 1940 from Islander fans like me. But then the Ranger fans came with one about Dennis Potvin that was really, I mean, it's like, whoa, that would not fly in this woke culture of today. Ask a Rangers fan what they used to chant to the New York Islanders about their defensive captain, Dennis Potvin. And it was to the same, you know, cadence of the Islanders chant. But at the end of the day, I mean, we realize we go home and aside from the odd soccer brawl that would break out because Manchester United was playing Liverpool, and we'd look at that and go, geez, that's crazy. But that's where we are now. We're turned on each other. Again, we go back to this issue. It's like Sean McCutcheon's book, Coming Together. Go read Marx. Go, not Groucho, Karl, the forgotten Marx brother. Go read Karl's manifesto and how you have to have class warfare. Well, since class warfare never really metastasized in the United States, we have to do race warfare. We have to do political party warfare. So David's just another example of somebody who's like, well, I can't, you know, if my president says do it. No, he's our president. He's my president, too. Joe Biden is the president of the United States. But he can be wrong. And these are the same people who say, oh, Trump this, Trump that. Well, guess what? President Biden, President Trump, President Eisenhower, doesn't make a difference. They're all capable of being wrong. And when they start manipulating things and they start inserting themselves into medicine, we look at what, like I mentioned, this story. UVA says it's part of its 10-year plan. It's going to open doctor's offices and pharmacies in underserved areas. When is it their job? Why isn't a doctor opening a clinic? Where is the First Med opening up in Scottsville? If there is a need for medical care in Scottsville, how come somebody isn't addressing it? Because they're all sitting around waiting for the University of Virginia Health System to do it. Because they've taken your tax dollars under the threat of going to prison or having your property confiscated, and they use your tax dollars to invest in things. It's the venture capital of the month club now. And that's why we have to be turned on each other, because we need that 51st percent. This blood sport that manifested, it's a verbal version of what I saw at the corner of Market and 4th in Charlottesville on August 12, 2017. It's a bunch of people who probably have way more in common than you would think. Thus the example of Hawk Newsom, who, in an effort to stay right with the BLM incorporated narrative, wound up just leaving the reservation. But the Hawk Newsom that came to my rescue during that riot was a guy who was like, I know him, and he's a good guy. And we both see the poverty issue, and we can work on fixing it. At some point, though, you have to stay right to the sloganeering. And that's how we get this craziness where medicine has become a controversial issue. Treating sick people with readily available medicine is a controversy because your political party gets a win or a loss based on that. Come on, folks. Aren't we a little bit better than that? I'd like to think so. So did the guy who grew up in Charlottesville on his dad's farm and wound up writing this. Oh, what was it called? Oh, yeah, the Declaration of Independence. But what we have now is this declarative dependence. And I need that 51st percent so I can win a majority in this house or that house or on this board or that board so that I get my way. This whole morning has been a master's class in why I tell you that democracy is just as dangerous as fluoride. It can arguably have some benefit to the body, societal. But if you guzzle too much of it, you wind up with this. Oh, I need 51%. I need the polls to say I have a mandate. Well, first off, all y'all authoritarians need to get over yourselves. And whether we currently exist in one or not, this is a country that was founded. And the articles are all still there if we want to choose to scrape off all the buildup that's cocked up over them. That's why I'm such an ardent supporter of the Convention of States, because it puts it back. Mark Peake, eloquent treatise on why Republicans are against it. Oh, that means Democrats might have a say. Yeah, guess what? They exist. And we better start learning that we have a lot more in common than we don't. Anyway, just eye-popping. Until tomorrow morning, we got a lot to get into there. We had stuff we didn't even get to today. So long, and thanks for all the fish.
Being tuned in means Joe Thomas now. Lars Larson at 6. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.